Begin the current daven says b'sachem daf lamed gimel. Begin 10 lines down from the top of the yomid, but the gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had on the previous daf in the bottom of the yomid, where the gemara introduced a certain braisa based on to show that Rav Papa, that his opinion had been reversed. So the gemara introduced a braisa which had a question from Rav Nachman Yitzchok on the internal contradiction of the braisa. And that is regarding the halachas of meila. The pasuk says v'chata bishkager. It's only that you chayev for, let's say, a carbon meila if it's done by mistake. However, if it's done by mezid, that's being excluded by the pasuk, which the Braisa asked, why do we need a miyud? You could have learned that out from a kavocham and from other mitzvahs. But we find by chelim and dam, where there the person gets karis if he does that. However, if it's done by mezid, there is no carbon chatas, which we know chatas is only by shkaga. So definitely I would know regarding halach of me'ila that it doesn't require a carbon if it's done by mezid. So then, but then the Braisa says, no, because I would say maybe by me'ila, where there is a chiyuv of misa b'dei shemayim, which is not the case by other mitzvahs like chelim and dam, where there it's just karas. That's why I would say maybe it's more stringent and would require a carbon even b'mezid. That's why I need a positive chata b'shkaga. To which Rav Nachman Yitzchok asked Rav Chiya bar Oven, says, I don't understand. The Braisa starts off making it sound like karas is the more stronger of the two. And therefore, if by other mitzvahs where there's a karas, and therefore, if it's done b'mezid, you're not going to have to be chayav a carbon. So most definitely me'ila, which is not even karas, is for sure going to be pater from a carbon that is done b'mezid. Then the end of the Braisa says that no, what do you mean? If you find by Me'ila, which has Mizab de Shemayim, which is not the case by other Isurim, maybe because that is more stringent, it sounds like, than Karas, that Me'ila would be exempt, would be Chayav a carbon, by even if it's done by Mezid. And that's why you need a Pasik to say V'chad de Bishkaga. But that contradicts. It starts off saying Karas is more stringent and ends off saying that Mizab de Shemayim is more stringent. Which is the more stringent of the two? So Rav Chiya had answered him that he said that when the end of the, truthfully, Karis is more stringent than Misa B'dei Shemayim. The end of the Braiso was inferring that, not that Misa B'dei Shemayim is more chamer, but that Me'ila is going to get Misa even if it's done Pachas Me'gezayis. Even if someone has Me'ila, has Hanah from Hekdesh, even less than the Gezayis, then you'll still have the punishment of Misa B'dei Shemayim for the Isra of Me'ila, which is not the case, but other Isra'im like Chelev and Dam, which is only by a Gezayis. That's why I would have thought that Me'ila is more chamer. That's and to say that even Memez is going to be Chayav a carbon, that's why you need a meet of the positive Cha'ata Bishkaga, which that continued the discussion to the top of this Amid until where the Gemara begins right now, which was the purpose of showing this opinion of Papa that he retracted his understanding of Abishal. Now the Gemara continues with two more answers regarding this difficulty in the Braisa. Which one is the Mochamer? Is it Karis or Misa B'Shemayim? How do we resolve that? So both but the opinions are both saying that definitely Karis is the most stringent. However, they're reinterpreting what does the end of the Braisa mean when it says that I would have thought Me'ila is Mochamer because it has Misa B'dei Shemayim. So again, the first teretz of Rav Chiya was that because it has Misa B'dei Shemayim, even less than the Kezayis. Now the Gemara continues with these two terutzim. He says that the Braisa that we quoted was in error as it was taught in the Beis Medrash. And Hachikama, in truth, this is what the Braisa was saying. That lie, no, you imamarta b'shar mitzvahs. You can't compare Me'ila to other mitzvahs to say, oh, just like you find by other mitzvahs that it's putter from a carbon if it's zambamezid. That's because shali asabahan, we did not make the chiv of a carbon when it's done b'shogig, let's say by chaylev or dam. She'ein miskaven, that is when you're not intending to do that malacha, kim miskaven, we do not give it the same halacha as when you did intend, when you did by mistake something, but you had the intention to do that malacha, that there, it's only by miskaven, when you had the intention to do that, but you were inadvertent, then is whereby, let's say, chayel medam, you'd be chayel for a carbon, but we did not make she'ein miskaven, the same thing as the Gemara explains, what does that mean? If someone intended to cut something that was already detached from before Shabbos, which is he had intention to do something that was permitted on Shabbos, and he cut something that was attached, even if he does this on Shabbos, shepater. Regarding other Isurim, he's going to be exempt. And the reason being, let's say on Shabbos, which although it's a very stringent halacha, it says it has to be a maleches machsheves, it has to be something that was an intentional act, that you have to intend to cut something that was attached. Now, but where does shogeg come in? Obviously, we're saying that we're talking about karbanis, that you did it inadvertently. It means that you didn't know that it was Shabbos, or you didn't know that this malacha is aser, but you had intention to do what you were doing. You were focused on what you were doing. You just didn't know what you were doing is wrong. And therefore, by other isurim, that there's a certain leniency that they have, that there, if you did not intend to do the act that you're doing, if, for example, if you intended to cut something, but you were intending to cut something that was already detached from before Shabbos, hence you're not going to be doing the malach of Kitzur and Shabbos, then you're going to be exempt. Whereas that's what the Brice was saying, Taima b'me'ila, are you going to try to say that the same thing should apply m'me'ila to say, oh, just like over here, you're exempt from a carbon if it's done b'me'ezit, so to by m'me'ila? No. M'me'ila has a certain chumra, a stringency that the others don't have, and maybe even if it's done b'me'ezit, you will be chayav a carbon, because she'im niskaven l'scham m'me'gizeh chulin. If someone intends to warm himself up with the shearings of wool that are chulin, that are unconsecrated, then they're not owned by hekdesh. And then he ends up warming himself with the shearings of the wool of a carbon oila. For example, let's say there were two shearings, one next to each other. One was chul and one was oila. And he intended to take the unconsecrated one. But his hand went to the oila one. Now, he knows which one's the oila, which one's the chulin. He was just looking elsewhere, and he didn't realize, he did not intend to do what he ended up doing. He mistakenly placed his hand in the wrong place. The halach is shemol, where they're the person, he will be chayv for me'ila. And that's because it says in the pasuk, v'cha'ata bishkaga, as we quoted, that no matter what it is, the mistake was, there are no exceptions, there are no mi'utim, like it says by Shabbos, that you have to have meleches machshabbos, or for example, all the other mitzvahs, where it says, ashachata ba, that you made a sin with this, which comes to exclude misasik, that is if you were involved with something else. And by mistake, your hand took the wrong thing, but others assume one will not be chayiv for even a carbon of a shagig, because a shagig again is that you intended to do the act that you did, but you had made an error along the way. That is something that you're going to be chayiv for a carbon. If you didn't even intend to do the act that you did, by all other mitzvahs, including Shabbos, you're going to be exempt. And that's why maybe over there you're going to be Potter from a carbon of a zamamezid. Whereas by me'ila, we're there even if you did not intend to do the act that you did. If let's say you wanted to go and get gizei chulin and you took gizei ayla, you're going to be chayiv from me'ila, and that's why I would say that you would be chayiv for a carbon of a zamamezid, and that's why the Braisa said you need to have the miut of a chata b'shkaga, that in spite of that, it's only when you do b'shaga that you're chayiv for a carbon me'ila, and not when you do b'mezid. Now the Gemara brings the third interpretation of the Braisa. If Nachma Yitzchok Amar, he argues on the previous interpretation. He says, for that, we would not have to have learned a pasuk. And that is because by other mitzvahs, he argues and he says, if you were involved in cutting, even if it was a permitted act, let's say you wanted to cut something that was already detached from before Shabbos, however, you end up cutting something that is forbidden, which is still attached. Even though he did not intend to do this, he holds that would be considered a meleches machshavas. And that's because it is an act of cutting that you wanted to do. So although you didn't want to do an act of cutting that was forbidden, but since it's the same act of cutting, it's still in that same category, that would be considered melech mashabbos. And even other yisurim, one would be chayv. Rather, it was a step deeper. Hachikama, what the Brice was saying is, loy, im amarta b'shar mitzvahs, if you're going to say by other mitzvahs, that there you're going to be exempt from a karban that's done b'mezid, shekein loy mischayv behen she'ein misasik, where we did not make a person liable if he's not preoccupied, and that is, he wasn't being preoccupied with something that's permitted, and then by mistake, he ended up doing something that was forbidden, kimis asik, the same as when the halacha is when you are preoccupied with something that's permitted, and you end up doing something that's forbidden. For example, she'im niskaven lahagbiya esatolish, not the same as the previous interpretation. If his intention was to pick up something that was detached, and that is, he was not engaged at all with the act of cutting. Even for something that was permitted, he wasn't engaged in cutting. He just wanted to pick up something that was already detached. The chatach esamachubeh ended up cutting something that's attached. In other words, when he's picking up, he ripped that out from being attached to the ground. So that's an act of cutting. Shepater, where there, by other mitzvahs, you're going to be exempt. Because we did not consider it as a case of when you're, like the case of when you wanted to cut something that was detached, and you end up cutting something that's attached. There, this interpretation says, yes, then you would be chayiv, because that's not a total misasik. Maybe you didn't intend for that. But that's not considered misasik, as if you're totally preoccupied, because you wanted to cut, and you ended up cutting. So even though one was talish, one was a mechubar, this interpretation holds you would be chayiv. However, when you are misasik, then you're going to be pater, because you didn't even intend to do an act of cutting whatsoever. So therefore, again, this is the leniency, but other yisurim shepater, that you're going to be exempt if you did not intend to do an act of cutting in the first place, you only wanted to pick up. Time of me'ila, how are you going to say that to prove by me'ila? Shim hoishid yodei l'klili til chayfetz. If he stretches out his hand to a vessel to go get an object that's inside the vessel, and he wasn't intending, he wasn't engaged at all in anointing himself, even with oil of heter, he didn't want to even do that act. V'sach yodei b'shemesh al-kodesh, he just wanted to get an object, and he ended up anointing his hand, with the oil of Kodesh, because when he stuck his hand in, the oil of Hekdesh was there, and it ended up getting on him. Shemal, where there the halacha is, that he ended up doing Me'ilah, again, as we said, because there are no Me'utim, Mechata B'Shkaga, just says, whatever the Shagig is, even if it's totally Mesasik, totally preoccupied, he had no intention whatsoever to even do any anointing whatsoever, still you're going to have to do Me'ilah, and that's why I would say that, because there's a stringency by Me'ilah, that's why you would be chayef for a carbon even if it's done b'mezid, and that's why we ultimately needed a miyut, a b'chata b'shkog, and those are the three interpretations that the Gemara gives to understand the b'raisa. Which one's more chamer? Is it karis or misa b'deishamayim? Definitely it's karis. However, either it's that the stringency of me'ila was not that it has misa b'deishamayim, but that it has misa b'deishamayim even less than a kezayis, or that it has it even when you're not miskaven, or that you have it even when you're totally misasig, still you're going to have a chiyuv of me'ila, and that's why I would think that maybe it's going to be even b'mezid, and that's why we need the pasuk. So Amamar, the Gemara says we had quoted on the previous daf, on Amud Beis, towards the bottom, we had that braisa that we were discussing that says, b'me devom amum, when could we have this case, which we have been discussing with all these discussions of trumas chametz on Pesach, and that was the discussion regarding what halachic status is going to have. So, but how do you even have that in the first place to have truma of chametz on Pesach? So the braisa says, b'mafrish truma v'chmitza. If you had separated truma, and only after it was separated as truma, then it fermented and turned into chametz. Aval hifrish chametz truma, but if he had separated truma that was already chametz, then divrei hakol, then everybody would agree. And this is coming to say, even according to the one, Rabbi Yisrael Galil, that holds that there is a permission of hana of chametz on Pesach, in spite of that he holds as a hetana, but if he would be separating the truma as chametz on Pesach, and the kedusha would not have the sanctity of truma, and it wouldn't be truma whatsoever. To which the Gemara now wants to understand, from where do we know this, that the Braisa was qualifying, that this whole discussion, the debate that they had regarding Truma of Chametz and Pesach, however, how do you even have the case, is only if it was first Truma, then turned Chametz. But if you had been separating it as Chametz already on Pesach, it wouldn't be. Where do we know this halacha? So Amar Vnach, so there's a machlekes. Amar Vnach by Yitzchak. Amar Krat says in the Pasuk in Devarim, that it talks about the pasuk of truma that says reishis de gancha, the first of your grain, tireish chavitzrecha, your wine and your oil, reishis geiz tzaynchan, the first of the shearings of your wool. There the pasuk ends, titin loy, this is what you should give to the kohen, these are the matnas kahuna. Now the drasha is, you should give to him v'loy le'uroi, not for his fire. Now that is even if the item that you're giving him, which is even a contribution like lili chametz on Pesach, because although you can't eat it, but it's mutar b'hanah, so although you can use it as fuel, but since it's not fit for him to eat it, which would be necessary for a tita and loy to give to him, that he could consume it, and not for his fire, therefore that would be excluding chametz on Pesach, that would not be valid to be used and to be created as truma, because that wouldn't be tita and loy, again, although he could use it for his fire, that would not be valid. So Masar of Hundebrei de Rishua, he asked, we have a mission in Trumas that says, we're not allowed to separate truma from items, food items that are tamei, for the produce that we have that are tahar. The reason is that cannot be done initially, because that's creating a loss for the kain, because now the only thing the kain could do with this truma tamei is use it as fuel, but he can't consume it. It definitely has less value than something that could be eaten. However, the Mishnah says, vim tarm b'shagig, if he ended up taking off this truma tamei, inadvertently, that he didn't know that this tevel was tamei, then trumasi truma. Then halacha is after the fact, it is going to be considered truma. Now vamai, why is it going to be even after the fact considered truma? Lema loy b'leila ura. You just gave me a drasha. That's why we said you can't take trumas chametz on Pesach, because what you're giving him has to be valid for consumption. But when you're giving him truma tamei, it's not valid for consumption. It's only for his fire. And therefore, why is it truma? It should be excluded from loy v'loy la'uroi. And that the Gemara says loy kasha. Because hasam, over there in that mission of trumas, hoysele shas akasher, it had at one point in time a point that it was fit, that it had validity. And that is before the truma became tamei. It was considered loy, and therefore it is valid in the sense to be termed as loy, and therefore it's going to be considered truma. Over here in the Braisa, when we spoke about Chametz, it never had a time of validity to then go ahead and take Truma off of it. And that is because before Pesach had started, this grain was still attached to the ground. And it fermented, it became Chametz stick when it was still attached. Now as long as it's attached, it's not fit to have a shame, a name of Truma on it. Because the Pasuk says, Reishis Degancha, the first of your grain. Now that sounds like from when it was nidgan, which the word digun Rashi explains means when it's gathered, when the pile is made out of it, as the Gemara says elsewhere. That's when the achiv of truma gedola starts, when it's the kri, when the pile is smoothed out, and therefore it never had a time that it could have been called truma because it was ready chametz from beforehand, and chametz on Pesach it has no utility as loy to be consumed. And therefore, that's why it's different, because it could be valid after the fact if it was at one point useful to be considered worth for loy because it didn't become tummy yet. But here, it was already chametz before it was ever able to become a shem of truma. But then the Gemara asks, let's understand this case. When do you have this that you're saying that, oh, regarding chametz and Pesach, it never had a time that was valid to be considered as truma? Must be, as we just explained, going to achmetz b'mechuber, that it became chametz when it was still attached, and therefore, it's only afterwards that it's going to be, that only once it comes off, and then it's already chametz and Pesach, and it's not rov v'loy, it's only l'uroi. However, the inference that you're trying to tell me is, aval achmetz b'talish, hochanami dekatsha. Obviously, you tell me that if it was first attached, and only then it became chametzik, then it would be fit to be considered truma, because although now it's chametz ha-pesach, at one point it had a shasa kaisher, it would still be considered light. So Amalei in, he says, yes, the case that I'm telling you, that the Brais is saying that it's a problem of chametz, that everyone would agree, it cannot be made as truma, isn't the case of when it was chametz, only as long as it was still mechuber, because then it never had a shasa kaisher. But you're right, if it was detached first, then it would be able to, just like the case of truma that became tame. And he quoted him a pasuk in Daniel, Bigzeiras Irin, with the decree of those who are awake, which is a reference there to the Malachim. This was the dream of Nebuchadnezzar that he had, which was a reference to Malachim. So he was quoting him to say, in other words, I mean the Tamid Chacham, who are like Malachi Asharis, that Pisgama, that their words, they say in the Beis Medrash, like me, that this, that the Brais has said before, that Trumas Chametz on Pesach, that does not become Kaddish according to everybody, is Tulkmat, that it became Chametz stick when it was still attached to the ground. Uvamemer Kadishin Shelosan, that with the statement of the Holy Ones, is the ruling. And what he was basically telling him was, V'chein Morim B'Bei Medrash HaKavasi. And that's how they paskin Halacha in the Beis Medrash, like me, that although it seems like that it's a very fine type of a case, that it's just when it was attached, but that is how they interpret, again, like I resolved it, that this is only a problem if it never had a Shasa Kesh, which must mean it became Chametzik when it was still attached. However, that was his interpretation. Ki Asra of Hunabri Divishu, when he came, he argued on this. And he says that, no, even if it became chametz when it was already detached, still that was what the Brais was saying, that it's not going to be Kaddish, and it's not going to have the sanctity of Truma. As we continue on to Amud Beis, because Amma, he said, Amma Krad says in the Pasuk of Devarim, Rashis, when it talks about Truma, it says it has to be the first, which sounds like it has to be the first. Now, first means that first of many other things, which are then permitted to be consumed, because you took up the Truma. Which means sheshireha nikarn. It means to say that you have to recognize the leftovers, because a first could only be the first of many. That it's recognizable Yisrael for the Jew, for that. In other words, if one takes off the truma, then you see what now you can go ahead and use, because you took off the matans, which is now fit for the Yisrael who gave the truma to the kayan. And what therefore the inference is that if you're going to be mafrish truma as chametz on Pesach, what type of a heter is there with what's left over to say that now the Rashis made this Shariah, made this left over? And therefore, Yatzis Zu, you're excluding the case of Chametz on Pesach, She'en Shireh Nekaren, that the leftovers is not recognizable. And that is because you're not permitting anything. The Rashis sounds like this is the first of what's now permitted. But now there's nothing more permitted now that you took up the truma, because originally it was tevel. And what is the halachic status of tevel of untithed produce? It's mutter b'hanah, but it's forbidden to eat. Now also it's permitted b'hanah and it's usher to eat because the halachic status of chametz is on it. And therefore, for what purpose do we say it's going to be considered shirayim? And therefore, he says that this halacha of chametz on Pesach, that's usher, is not just if it was attached, even if it was detached, because the halachic separation of the truma, of the rashis, is not creating in the shirayim, and therefore he argues and he says that this halacha of the brisa was even if it was detached and then became chametzik. So now the Gemara begins a different discussion that in the continuation will come relation to that brisa that we had mentioned on the previous daf. So Yosef Rav Achaba Rav Avya Kamed Rav Chizda, the Yosef Omer Meshmid Rechnam is saying this following halacha in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Anavim Shenitmu, grapes that became tame. Darchan paches paches mikabeya. Now, what do? You can squeeze them out less than a beya, than an egg size at a time. And that's because food that is tame does not convey tumah to others if it's less than the kabeya. And therefore, v'yein and kashal and nesachim, the wine that comes out from those tameh grapes are going to be valid even for the nesachim, what's the libations that are poured on the mizbeach, because they do not become tameh. Because as you're squeezing out only less than a kebeah at a time, there's no halachic status of tumah on the juice that's coming out because you're only having less than the kebeah. And therefore, although the grapes are tameh, there's not going to be a problem for the wine that's coming out. So the Gemara says, Alma kesaver mashkin mifkat pkidi. So obviously you see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the liquid, the juice that's inside the grapes, are considered just gathered. In other words, they're gathered within the peel of the grape, and it's not attached to the grape. Rather, it's like when you put liquid in a cup, it's just gathered and it's not part of the cup. And therefore, when the grape peel becomes tummy, the liquid inside does not become tummy inclusive of the category when the grape, in other words, when the solid part, the peel becomes tummy of Tumas Eichlin, because it's not considered the food item as the grape. It's something separate. It's sloshing around inside. It's a liquid. And similarly, the Tumah of Mashkin, it does not acquire, because although Mashka is Mekabel Tumah, even with a kosher, even minute amount, so therefore it doesn't even have to have a kebeya, but the problem is it doesn't have a status of Mashka, of beverage, when it's still inside, that it never was let out of the grape, so therefore it does not get the Tumah of Taras Mashka when the Tumah touches the grape peel itself. And it also cannot combine with other things because this peel is not touching the liquids in the other ones, and therefore it's going to be considered as separate from everything else. So therefore, as the Gemara continues, so therefore since he considers the liquid as just gathered, not part of the grape, it's separate, so the aim is kometami. So when does the liquid, the grape juice, so to speak, become tummy? Because it's not becoming tummy when it's inside, because it's not part of the grape to become tummy from the grape. So l'chisachet lehu, it's when you finally squeeze it out. Then when you squeeze it out, then it touches all the grape peels and they all become together as one unit. However, it's once you squeeze it out, l'chisachet lehu, less l'shir, when you're squeezing it out, you're not having the requisite shir of tumah, which is kebeya, because we're saying that what you're squeezing out at one time are, the grape peels are not having a beya shir to convey tumah, because we said that you should be squeezing out less than the kebeya at a time, and therefore, that's what Rabbi Yochanan's idea was, to say that since he holds that they're separate from the peels, if you squeeze it less than a bit at a time, the grape juice that's inside will never become tummy. You could even use it for nesachim. But then the Gemara asks, if that's his the svara, then he should even allow a bay at a time to go ahead, not just less than a bay, even at a bay at a time, that size of egg size, you could take of the grapes and squeeze it out at one time, because when the liquid finally comes out, that first drop will already make it less than a beya, less than a shear that could become a tumah. That's not, because as we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Tiras, that says, Temei meis shesochet ziziv anavim. Someone that has the tumah of a corpse, that he touched something, he touched a corpse, that he's squeezing out an olives or grapes, kebeya mechuven is tahirin. If he squeezes out exactly the size of an egg, it's going to be tar, as the Mishnah over there concludes in Masechtas Tahiris, that as long as he doesn't touch the liquids, and for example, the case that it's talking about is if he's squeezing it out with what's called pshutikliates, that's wooden vessels that have no container part, which that does not get become tummy, because kliates have to have a receptacle. Now, so therefore, there's not going to be any tumah of mashkin. The only thing that became tummy are the grape peels that the tummy person touched beforehand with his hands, because he's not careful with the tumah, only when the liquid starts coming out. And when the liquids touch the grape peels, it's already missing from the sheared, from the requisite amount of a beya. But if it's more than a bay, even a little bit amount, it says explicitly over the Masechtas Tiras that it will become tummy, that is, since the first drop comes out. So it comes out that now the drop is touching the shear of a kebeya, because now you still have a beya left once the first drop comes out that becomes tummy, and now it's mixing with all the other ones. Now, although we said that the mashke that's inside the eichel is not mekabel tumah together with the grapes, however, it does complete the shear of the grape peels, and therefore once it finally does come out and it gets the halachic status of a liquid, it's going to complete the shear of a beya of the grape peel. And therefore, again, more than the kibbeh, it's going to be a problem. But basically, the Gemara's question is, why should Rabbi Yochanan say just squeeze out less than the beya at a time? Even though exactly the share of a beya is also okay, because although a beya of mashkin would be kabbal tamar, but it's only once it starts coming out. And once the first rub already comes out, it's already less than the beya. So why does he say less than a beya, not exactly a beya? To which the Gemara answers, the hasam over there in the Mishnah Masechta Torah is di'i avad. It's talking about if it was already done, that he had already squeezed it out, then it's going to be even a kabeya, as we said, because once it comes out, it's going to be okay. However, hacha l'ketchila, here we're talking about initially, when the person is coming to ask, what should I do? I have these grapes that are tame, I want to be able to use the liquids inside b'tahara. So we tell him, squeeze it out less than a bay at a time, but a bay not. Why not? It's a decree. We're concerned that maybe it's hard to know exactly the amount. He might use a little bit more than a beya. And when the first drop comes out, there's still going to be an oichel of grape with the grape juice together of a beya, and then the drop is going to become tummy, and it's going to go back and mix with the mashkin, and it's going to create the tumas of mashkin of the and together with the grape. Of the share of a kabeya, and therefore you will have the tumma, and you'll be with that problem of having the tumma. That's why we make it exera. Don't do exactly like a beya. Do a little bit less. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion regarding the halacha of these grapes that it could be squeezed less than a beya at a time, because he holds of the mashkinah mifkat pkidi. They're just gathered inside, and therefore does not become tummy right away. And when you're squeezing it out, if you do less than a beya at a time, it'll be okay. However, Amalei Rav Chizur responded to Rav Acha. He says, "Man tzayis loch le Rechon Rabach. Who's going to listen to you and your Rebbe Rabbi Yechanan? V'chi tumma shebehen. However, the tumma that's on them, in other words, that the grape juice that's inside the grape was that was makabel tumma with the grape initially when the grape became tamei. Lehechon halcha. Where did that tumma go? What does that mean that you're squeezing out less than the bay at a time, but the grape juice became tamei together with the grape?" Which the Gemara says, obviously, Alma Kesavar, obviously Rav Chizda holds, that mashkin mivlabli, that the liquids that's inside the grapes are not just gathered inside, but they're absorbed in the food item of the grape, in the walls of the grape, and it's attached to it, and therefore, when the grape becomes tamei, it's part of the same food item, and the grape juice inside becomes tamei. And therefore, v'kivin de tami le'uchla, since the grape became tamei, itame le'mashkin, the grape juice also becomes tamei, and therefore he would hold that it would be possible to be used for the nesachin on the mizbeach, because it doesn't help to squeeze it less than a bay at a time. It's already tamei together with the grape, no matter how you squeeze it out. So Rav Acha said to Rav Chizda, what do you mean? Fa'at like tizber demashkin mifkat pkidi, you don't agree to us that the liquids inside are just gathered and not absorbed in the walls of the grape to be considered as part of the grape? But Vatnan, we learned over there in that mission over there, it says, Tamei meis shesochet zeisim anovim, regarding someone that has the tum of touching a corpse, that if he squeezes out olives and grapes, mechuven is kebeya tahar in this. So it says if he squeezes it exactly as a bay, as we mentioned before, that they're going to be tahar. Right, as we said, the logic, which it sounds like, because once you squeeze it out, it's already going to be less than a beya. Now, iamid bishlem and mifkat pkidi, if you say, like we say, that the grape juice is considered just gathered inside, but it's not part of the grape itself, mishum hachi tayin. That's why the grape juice is going to be tayin, as we explained, because it's not makabel tumah, although the grape has a complete size of a beya, but it's not considered part of it when it's not outside yet, because it's just gathered, it's not part of the grape. And once you start squeezing, already it's less than a beya. However, but if you hold like you, that it's considered absorbed in part of the grape in the walls, it's considered the same entity as the grape. So my tarin, why in that case would it be tar? What do you mean? It's a mekabel tuma the size of a beya. It's a full shear. It doesn't have to come out to become tame. It's not mifkad pekidi according to you. It's mivlabli. Samlei said to him, if you want to understand that case of the mission over there, what they're talking about is not difficult to me. Because ba'anovim shle hukshu, we're talking about grapes that were not yet prepared to be mekabel tumah. That is, food items, for example, in this case, grapes, are only susceptible to tumah once they become in contact with a liquid that they want that it should be touched with, which is there's 7 different types of liquid, and therefore, up until then, when they're still dry and never had that liquid touch them, they're not susceptible. Now, le'emis miskashi, when are they going to be susceptible to tumah? When you squeeze them out, then the grape juice from inside, which is one of the 7 liquids, will go ahead and touch the outside, then it'll be susceptible to tumah. When you're going to squeeze it out, yes, I know it's exactly a kazayis, and I know it should be mekabel tumah, but it's not susceptible yet. It's only when you're going to squeeze it. Once you squeeze it, it's going to be less than the shear, and therefore, it's not going to be mekabel tumah. And therefore, although I disagree with your logic that it's only mekabel, it's only the mashkin is only mekabel tumah once it comes out, to say that it's only once it's squeezed out then it's less than a shear. However, the case that I'm talking about is a case that also has to be squeezed out first to then be mekabel tuma because of tuma that it wasn't prepared yet. And that's why, again, just like you're saying that once it's squeezed out is less than a shear, so too I'm saying that also once it's squeezed out is less than a shear. Now, Rashi explains that therefore when he touches the grape that's dry and he's pushing it to the press to be pressed, it doesn't have the shear to be mekabel tuma. Again, because it's only once it's squeezed out, and he's also careful from touching the liquid part, as we had said explicitly before, that as long as he doesn't touch the part of where the liquid is, so hence, that's why that case, although you're right, I hold that even it is mivabli, and it should be mekabel tuma, even without being squeezed out, because it's part of the grape, the case is talking about that it has to be squeezed out first for it to be mekabel tuma, and therefore, yes, it's going to have less in the shear when you're finally touching the grape itself. And then Rav Chisda continues. It says, because if you don't say the way I'm saying, that liquids are absorbed and that they are mekabel tuma together with the grape itself, it's considered part and parcel of the same entity. Rather, like you trying to say in the name of your Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, that rather that the grape juice is just gathered inside and it does not become tummy from just touching the food item itself. But Hadatanya, and this is where it comes in relation to the brisa that we had mentioned on the previous daf. That Hadatan, this is what the Braisa Halamazah Daima, that what could this be compared to, which the other Braisa is discussing regarding Truma of Chametz on Pesach. With that opinion, is trying to say that it's not going to be considered Truma. And that is because Litrumas Tutin Va'anavim Shenitma, what could you compare Truma of Chametz on Pesach? Could be compared to the Truma of mulberries and grapes that became Tamei. Now, this sounds like we're talking about a case of when the mulberries and the grapes became Tamei before they were pressed. Now, there that opinion is saying, where those grapes do not have any heter for consumption because they're tamei, and they have no heter even for firewood because they're liquids and they can't be used as fuel. And as we explained over there on the previous stuff, they can't be used for ziluf because we're concerned it might come to takala. And therefore, we don't view it as truma. Same thing this opinion was saying, the same thing would apply to chametz and pesach because there's no heter for achila and there's no heter for asaka. So why should we consider it as truma? However, this is the question that Rav Chisda is asking, says, but according to you, ha-heter achila nami isba. What do you mean? There is a heter of consumption of this truma of anavim that became tummy. What's the comparison that he's saying, this opinion is saying, that what do you mean? There's no heter of achila. According to your interpretation of your Rabbi Yechanan, you can press it less than a kebeya at a time. And therefore, you'll have something that you could consume because that will not be considered tummy because it's coming at less than a bay at a time. Obviously, Rav Chisda says that the mashkin are blii, that they're absorbed into the grape. And therefore, if the grape is tummy, the grape juice is tummy, and it doesn't help squeezing out less than a bay at a time. To which Amar Rava says it's not a raya. Because maybe it is mifkat pkidi, and it does not become tummy. And you're right, really, you could squeeze out the truma that became tummy, these grapes, less than a bay at a time. But gezerah dema'asu behu l'dei takala. But it's exactly that you might come to getting stuck in an iser. That is, when you're pressing it, maybe you're going to come to go ahead and eat from it. And that's why he said there's no heter achila, no heter asaka, because we do not allow you to eat it, because we're concerned that you might come to, when they don't let you squeeze it out to get the mashkin less than a kebay, because you might come to consume the grape, which does have the tumah, and that's why. But truthfully, it is mifkat pkidi, and what Rabbi Yochanan's exact halacha is true. To which the Gemara asks, "Some le'abaya, umi chashin l'takala? Are we really concerned for such a type of a concern? The person might go ahead and consume this that he's doing in a process to get out the liquids less than the beya, and that's why we say that there's no heter achila. But v'atani we learn in the brisa, madlikin bepas or b'shemen shel truma shenitmas. We're allowed to use as fuel, allowed to light up a piece of bread or oil of truma that became tummy." And that is because you can't consume it, but you could use it as fuel. Now, definitely, it doesn't get used up, consumed in 1 second, the whole entire oil. Rather, it takes a long time. And we're not concerned that throughout that entire half hour, whatever it is that it takes for it to get used up as fuel, that you're going to come to eat from it. So why do you say over here that we're concerned when you're pressing it out less than a beya, to that there is a heter achila, that you're trying to say that no, it's not difficult on Rabbi Yochanan, because really you could do it, it's just we're concerned that there's a takala, that you might come to eat it in that process. What do you mean? Then how do we say over here in that brisa that you're allowed to use it as fuel? Why shouldn't we be concerned in the process of using it as fuel? You might come to eat it. Samalei, to that Rava responded, that's not a difficulty. Pas zarekli bein ha'etzim, the bread you're throwing amongst the pieces of firewood. And Shemeshul Truma, Ramei Lebekli Mayis, and the oil of Truma you're putting in a disgusting vessel, that's what you're using as a container for the fuel, and therefore there is no chashash of takala, and therefore that's not a difficulty on me, and my teretz does work for Rabbi Yechanan. And ultimately this is the machlikas that we have between Rav Chisda and Rabbi Yechanan regarding do we view the mashkin inside the grape as mifkad pkidi, and therefore you could squeeze out less than a bay at a time to have the mashkin that'll be tar even to be used as nesachin on the mizbeach. Well, like Rav Chisda, that they're considered mivla blii. They're absorbed inside the grape. If the grape becomes tummy, the grape juice becomes tummy, and it won't help to squeeze it out less than a bay at a time. So now, regarding this halacha that we just brought from this brisa, Gufa, the Gemara says, Madlikin bepasa b'shemesh l'trumah shenitmas. So the brisa said that we can use as fuel, we can light up the bread and the oil of trumah that became tamei and use it as fuel. However, we have machlikis regarding this halacha related to the discussion that we were just having. Abaya amem mishmei dechizke, v'rava amem debay Rabbi Yitzchok bar Marta amem Rav Huna, that is said in the name of Rav Huna, l'shano el pas. We only said this halacha, you ought to use this truma that became tummy that cannot be eaten, but you could have enough from it, fuel, only by bread, that when you throw it amongst the firewood, it becomes disgusting, and we're not concerned you're going to come to eat it. Avochiti, however, regarding kernels of wheat, where even if you throw it amongst the fuel, it's not going to become disgusting, like, you're not allowed to use it as fuel, shemiyava behen l'dei takal, because you might come to a takal, we're concerned you might come to take it out and eat it, instead of it being used as fuel, which is asr. Rabbi Yechanan says, afilachiti. Even by kernels of wheat, there's no problem. You're allowed to use it as fuel to burn what you're cooking, let's say, underneath it. And we're not concerned. Why is it nechesh demasav and not takala? We should be concerned that you might come to takala because it's there and you might come to take it and eat it. And that's an isser of eating truma tamea. And that the Gemara answers, k'dam Rav Ashi. That's as Rav Ashi says, we continue on top of Lamadan Amar Aleph, bishli kasa. We're talking about that they were boiled, these kernels. And that is after they became tamei, they were boiled, and then they were thrown amongst the firewood. Umisasa, and therefore, once it's boiled, the radar becomes disgusting. Sahachanami b'shli kasa misasa. So too, in our case, we're talking about that they were boiled, and then they became disgusting. And that's why Bi'echna says that there's no concern to say that you might come to eat it. Whereas Rav Huna, he was concerned that maybe you're going to come to eat it before it was boiled, or during that it's being boiled, which is also a process, before it's used as fuel. And therefore he says, no, you're not allowed to go ahead and use this at all, because you might come to consume it in the process. To which Gemara asks, Heichet mit Rav Ashi, where was this halacha of Rav Ashi said that we're using the same principle to explain Rabbi Yechon over here? Ahad Amar Rabbi Oven Bar Rav Acham Rabbi Yitzchok, that Abishol Gavol Shabes Rabbi Hayim. Abishol was the kneader of Rabbi's house, that he would knead the flour, the dough that was in Rabbi's house. For Yimechamen Lo Yichamen Bechitin Shal Trumat Me'en, they would heat up for him hot water that was fueled by wheat of truma that became tummy, because that was very cheap. They would be able to buy from Kahanim very cheap, because Kahanim can't eat the truma that became tummy. They could only use it as fuel, so they would sell it off, and they bought from the, and this is what they had bought for Abishol to use in the house of Rebbe. Lolosh ben isa b'tahara, to then knead dough that was done in the process of tahara, and that what the Chiddush is saying, that even the Rebbe would eat his chulin, his unconsecrated property, with the halachic status of tahara, we weren't concerned that maybe that the dough is going to be touching the tummy wheat kernels themselves. And that's because they already lost their status of a food item because they're being used as fuel, not as food item. And therefore, they're not going to be conveying tumma. That was the chiddush of that statement, to say that they would use it for him as fuel. But however, amai, why is this that they would take these kernels of truma that became tummy as fuel to heat up the dough of Rebbe? We should be concerned that in the process that someone might come to go ahead and eat it, because again, they're kernels of wheat, which kernels of wheat are edible, and even if it's thrown amongst the firewood. On that, Amar Rabashi, same as we had said regarding Rabbi Yechanan, b'shli kasa misasa, that they're boiled, and then when they're thrown amongst the firewood, they're disgusting. And therefore, again, that's why Rabbi Yechanan said that it's going to be mutter, even machiti, whereas again, Rav Huna said that we're concerned in the process, one might come to consume it, and therefore you're not allowed to go ahead and use it as fuel because of the concern of takala.